Hey, welcome back. This is Jennifer Richmond. This is the Dwelling Richly podcast. And today we're going to be in Psalm 119. We're going to pick up where we left off. And we're going to read today verses 49 through 56. I'm loving this series on how to study the Bible. And I'm hearing from so many of you that you're enjoying it as well. We have a record number of views or listens on this podcast series this summer, record number for me of downloads. And I want to encourage you, if you have not already gone over to my website and followed the website, get onto my newsletter and share an episode from the website. I'm going to encourage you to do that today. And what it does is, and it's just the way that things work on the interwebs. when I get traffic over there to the website, it helps other people find my content and hear God's word and learn better how to study the Bible. One of the most searched topics on the internet is simply this, how to study the Bible. That's exciting to me. People want to know how. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying that this series helps to answer that question, gives people some ideas, inspiration, encouragement, challenge on how to study the Bible. And a way that you can help get the word out is go over to my website, jennifergrichmond.com. And on the page where you find this episode, just share it. Share it on Instagram, send it in an email or Facebook, whatever. Just share it with somebody. And each time you do that, it really does help. So thank you so much for doing that. The other way to help is to leave a comment also on my website. And then the other way to help is if you're listening on Apple Podcast or on Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, wherever you're listening, give it a rating, 5 billion stars, of course, and leave a comment. All those are simple ways that you can help. I don't charge a penny for this. I don't make a penny for this either. Anything that gets, any likes or subscribes and all that good stuff goes right back to my home church, La Mirada Christian Church, and everything goes right back to supporting the outreach efforts of our church to reach our community and to help me to continue to teach. So I don't make any personal money off of this. I'm not asking for that for any reasons at all, except for just kind of play along with the way the system is going. The way the system is when you engage, it helps. So anyway, there we go. Thank you for doing that. So once again, today we'll be in Psalm 119. This is going to be kind of a different one because, again, the purpose of this series is how to study the Bible. And so as we read through this, you might be asking, well, how are we going to learn how to study the Bible from this particular portion out of Psalm 119? Stick with me. I think you'll be challenged and encouraged on how exactly this impacts how we study the Bible. Let's go ahead and get into the word. I'll read it straight through, and then we're going to go back and talk about it, break it down, and give you some things to think about. All right, here we go. Psalm 119, verses 49 to 56. I'll read today, again, from the English Standard Version. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. All right. Woo. I love this. I love this passage from Psalm 119. It's just so applicable to, I think, a lot of our lives and how we feel. And here's what I mean by that. In this particular passage, the author, David, and I believe it's David, but there are some, just so you know, that describe Psalm 119 to other writers in the Bible. One of them could be Ezra. And so there's that. But I think it might be David. So it's not something I really impacts too much our understanding of this psalm, but just something I'd toss out there. We talked about that earlier in this series. But I think this particular portion is very applicable because it talks about where we could potentially be. Raise your hand if you have ever found yourself frustrated, angry, infuriated, baffled by people who do not accept the truth of Christ, of Jesus, of the Bible, of the Word of God, right? How many of you have ever felt that way? Frustrated, shocked, right? That is where the author of this psalm finds himself as he writes. Listen to what he says here. He opens up and he's talking to God and he says, remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. And he's talking about his personal hope. And he says about that hope, he says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Amen to that. How many of you have found yourself in that moment of your life where you have been in affliction, or the New International translates that same word, suffering, all right? You've been with me in my suffering, the troubles, the trials that I'm going through. My comfort I have found, you give me hope, your word, your promise gives me life. Then in verse 51, he says, really frustrated, he says, the insolent utterly deride me, or in the New International, arrogant, or the modern English version, the proud people. So someone who's insolent is arrogant or prideful, and they are the ones mocking him. And then he says, but I don't turn from your law. I don't turn from it. They can say what they want. I'm not going to turn from your law. And then in verse 52, he says, when I think of your rules from of old, this, his rules, that's his law. Those, that's where he's found comfort in his word. When I think of your rules from of old, all the way back, I take comfort, O Lord. I find comfort in them. They bring me a great deal of comfort. I go back and I reflect. There's something consistent and satisfying and wholesome about God's rules. They bring order to a chaotic mind. And this is what he's talking about here. Is I go back and I reflect on that and I find myself comfort again in your words from way back then. Verse 53 is the part that really gripped me as I was looking at this portion of the psalm. He says, what? Indignation seizes me. The NIV says indignation grips me. I love that the ESV really amps it up and really gives you this idea that he's just on fire with indignation. The modern English version says fury. The whole idea is this word indignation is righteous anger, righteous anger. Hot indignation seizes me. Why? Because of the wicked who forsake your law, the same type of people, the insolent, the prideful that are deriding me, right? And so he's on fire with righteous indignation, with anger because of all the wicked around him who are not obeying his God's law. And then he turns around and he says, you know, your statutes, I don't just obey them. I don't just find comfort in them. What does he say in verse 54? Your statutes have been my songs, right? When my mind and my heart are filled with hot indignation, with I'm flaming up with anger when I look at the world, when I think of the wicked, when I see what they're doing and getting away with, it's your statutes that I don't just find hope in. I don't just find comfort in. They've been my song. I sing. They just erupt right out of me. Wherever I lodge, in the house of my sojourning, wherever I'm traveling, wherever I am, your words are that comfort to me, that song that erupts from within me. And he says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. If you're like me, the nighttime can be the time when you're trying to fall asleep and your mind is spinning with all of the things that are going on in your day to day, rethinking how you handled something, anticipating maybe even with worry or anxiety about what tomorrow might bring. And so he says, I remember your name in the night, Yahweh. Oh Lord, that's what Yahweh is Lord. And I keep your law. I remember your name and I keep your law. And he says it as he's again at night in verse 56, this blessing, the blessing of remembering your name in the night, keeping your law, has fallen to me. And he adds to that, that I have kept your precepts. In other words, even in spite of the hot indignation seizing me because of the wicked, the insolent utterly deriding me, doesn't turn away from your law. At night, I remember your name. At night, I remember that I have kept your law. I've stayed faithful, and that it's a blessing that has come upon me. It's a blessing that he's kept the law. Now, all of that right there, beautifully encouraging. I hope and I pray as you've gone through this psalm, you've seen the powerful encouragement of being in God's word and loving it like David does or Ezra, whoever wrote this, right? But I want to ask the question, what does this have to do with how to study the Bible? And that's what we want to learn during this series is precepts, ideas, foundations for how we approach God's word. And here's a couple of them I want you to think about. I want you to realize how, as you're reading God's word, that God's word is going to teach you how to deal with the difficult circumstances and people in your life. And so when you approach God's word, approach it with that level of expectation that God's word is going to equip you. So how do you study God's word so that that becomes true for you? You really do understand it in such a way that you can apply it to exactly what you're going through, especially really difficult things like hot indignation seizing you because of the wicked around you. You read God's word and you realize, wow, a real person wrote this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it connects to the, I'm going to use a big word, immutable, the unchanging truth of when we are in God's word, because we know who God is. And we think about examples of people throughout God's word that have had the same approach, the same feeling that David has as he's been writing Psalm 119. Think about back in Exodus chapter 32, when Moses comes down from the mountain after being with God, he sees that the people, he comes near and he sees the people, they've set up this golden calf and they're dancing around. And it says, Moses' anger burned hot. This is Exodus 32. I'll read verses 19 through 20. And as soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot. He threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder, scattered on the water, made the people drink of it. He was furious with what they had done because they did not seek God's righteousness and hang in there with God's righteousness. Moses had God's will in mind. God's thoughts, God's plans, the love of God's word in mind. And he was seeking, in a sense, after that righteousness, and to come down and be face to face with the people who were doing the exact opposite was infuriating, rightly so, to him. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6? He says, you know, all the things he's talking about, how that we might worry about our clothing or our food or what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And don't give the opportunity to the devil in your anger. Paul continues this idea of anger and thinking through what it looks like to be righteously angry. He says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go on your down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. In other words, the anger that you have, it has to be rooted in seeking God's righteousness. We need to be aware of the evil around us, but we need to keep God's righteousness first and seek that first, and don't sin in our anger. And then I want us to think about David's actual words in Psalm 139. When David is pondering the greatness of God's words, he says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, O vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And then he gets really angry and he says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, you men of blood, depart from me. They speak with you of you with malicious intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. And then he says, you know, do not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. And then he turns to himself and realizes, whoa, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And again, this carries us right back here and our thoughts in Psalm 119, that we would love God, we would love his word, we would have righteous anger, in terms of our approach on how we study the Bible. We study the Bible to see who God is, who we are, and to make sure that our priorities align with God's. When the world is filled with wickedness and wicked people, we need to make sure that we're on the side of righteous anger, God's righteous anger, and studying the Bible, approaching the Bible with that prayer in mind will help us to do exactly that. I pray that that's an encouragement for you today, that you would see and be angry at the wickedness in the world and be humble before God, that he would help you to be nourished by his word, to love his word, to wake up in the morning and say it, and go back to sleep at night saying his word and having that completely cover you. Well, I pray that that's encouraging to you and that you will continue to grow in your ability to love God's word. That's what this podcast is all about. That the word of Christ dwell in you richly and we return the favor. We don't just read it. We don't just do it. We dwell in the word of God. I always enjoy my time here together with you. Please take a minute to share, leave comment wherever you're listening from. And today especially, I'd love it if you hop over to my website. I will leave a link. Just click it right to this episode and say hi and leave a comment there and share. Let me know that you've been listening. Know that, as always, you are loved and you are prayed for. And I look forward to being back here again with you real soon. Bye-bye for now.